Welcome to the Sexual Mindfulness Project podcast, where we talk about creating an intentional relationship and how to find joy in slowing down, letting go of judgment, and connecting more deeply with your partner. I'm Dr. Shalom Levitt, and today I'm here with Amber Price, Rebecca Clark, and Jenna Lawler. Welcome to this episode of our podcast on the Sexual Mindfulness Project. I'm here with therapist Chris Wilkins. And my first question for Chris is just to kind of introduce yourself and tell us about your clinical practice.
Awesome. It's so good to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I've been a therapist for just, I guess, 10 or 11 or 12 years now. Time really flies when you start to think about it. But so for the last 15 or so months, I've had a private practice in Utah County. And we just have expanded like 4 or 5 months ago to Springville, to a bit bigger building. And so we are trauma focused. We provide both EMDR and accelerated resolution therapy to our patients. We also deal with a lot of addiction issues, a lot of anxiety and depression. We see a lot of families and people who are dealing with just a variety of different stresses and conflicts in life. We have male and female therapists. We have people who are new to the field, people who've been in it for quite some time. We've got some individuals who are in recovery from addiction. And so many of us have, so to speak, sat on the therapy couch ourselves and really promote that as well, really getting our work done, really taking care of ourselves. So we're in Springville, which is sentimental to me. When I was 12 or 13, we moved from Arizona, where I'm originally from, to Springville. And so our office is actually stone's throw away from where I went to junior high and middle school and started my high school career. Kind of feel like I'm in my hometown.
That's nice. And we're so glad you're there and offering the services you do. But I'm wondering, how do you think mindfulness plays into helping couples overcome these sorts of problems, anxiety? I mean, we know from research that mindfulness helps individuals reduce anxiety. How do you see that working in a couple relationship?
Communication, asking, what is this like? What is your experience? Is this okay? Is this not okay? Talking about boundaries beforehand and in real time, being in sync. Reading, I guess the term reading the room. I think knowing your partner. And if you don't know, if it's not clear, then just asking the questions.
I really like one of the studies that I've really relied on in a number of my teaching settings is some research done by Carson and a number of colleagues. And this was back in 2004. And what he found was that couples who were both practicing mindfulness, whether it was meditation or yoga, I mean, lots of different forms of mindfulness, couples who were practicing mindfulness were able to tolerate the discomfort of conflict a little longer than those who weren't so mindful. And so the result was, if we can sit and be okay with conflict with our partner, we're more likely to work things out. We're more likely to be able to find a resolution instead of throwing up our hands and saying, this is ridiculous, I'm out of here.
Meditation is fantastic for the individual and for the group. Sometimes we can get distracted for various reasons with mindfulness in, you know, when we aren't removed from distraction. And so if our partner is there and we're meditating. You know, for me, I've meditated for a long time. I love it. Maybe I'm interacting with somebody who's never done it before or could be skeptical. And so a part of me wants to, hey, this is like my favorite meditation. Let's do this. And I'm really excited. I want to show this to you. I want you to have the experience because for me, it's just been so powerful. And so we close our eyes and maybe we hit play. I love accents. If I'm doing a guided visualization, I love to press play with someone who's from Australia or Europe somewhere and just kind of sense their culture along with putting me in the forest or on a beach or in the galaxy somewhere, those real descriptive guided visualizations. And so we might be doing my favorite one. And I open my eyes a little bit just to see, are they having the same experience that I have?
Yeah.
Do they like it as much as me? Just like if you share your favorite song with someone else, everyone's going to have a different experience, and that's wonderful and beautiful. But what are those things that we can connect with together? And I think talking about it rather than forcing it, making us have to be the same. There's so many different forms of mindfulness and bringing ourselves to the present moment. It doesn't have to be breath work. It doesn't have to be meditation, but just connecting, getting rid of the distractions. So I really want to push this for a moment. I cannot multitask. There are those moments in life where I try to make that a truth that I can. When I'm connecting with my partner, I don't need my phone. I don't need TV. I don't need sports. I don't need any other thing in that moment. I even have to turn off my work.
And in fact, we not only don't need it, it's impeding our ability to be with that person truthfully, to really give them our awareness, to be present with them. We fool ourselves thinking that we can kind of tick off our to-do list in our head while we're being with our spouse. And in reality, our spouse may even sense that you're not really present. And so that creates a little distance.
And talk about the anxiety that comes into that situation.
Yeah.
If I'm sharing something, especially something that's important to me or that's near to my heart or just how my day went.
Yeah.
And they're thinking about other things. I receive the signal that they don't care.
Yeah.
That I'm dumb or that I'm boring, you know, with whatever I'm trying to share that to me is incredible and exciting and fascinating, but to them would be not. Enter the anxiety. Here comes the feelings of I'm not good enough, or I'm not entertaining enough, or I'm not interesting enough. And then proceed through the next several hours and our disconnect only grows. It only wedges us even further and further apart. I think the human brain is so powerful and it is processing things so rapidly that we will attempt to multitask if given the opportunity.
Yeah, which makes the practice of mindfulness so important.
Yeah. So reframing. So if I said to my partner how my day was going, it is so incredibly validating to hear some of what I said reiterated back to me. Comments on, wow, and sometimes that means we embellish a little bit. And I don't mean we're being fake, but we're connecting with it. We're hearing the story as though a young child is being read a bedtime story. We're reacting, we're responding because we're imagining as though we were there.
Right.
I think that helps us in our mindfulness and in our connection, whether that's our intimate partner or others. It just expands that connection, which then expands, I believe, the trust and the willingness to be increasingly vulnerable and communicative moving forward in that relationship.
You know, it's interesting because our last podcast just discussed some of the challenges of mindfulness. You know, it's hard to create that present awareness where we really do let everything else go, where we stay focused on this moment. That's a really hard task to master. It's a skill that we really have to work on. And so I'm wondering, in your experience, what are some of your favorite mindfulness practices?
I love the 5-4-3-2-1 with the five senses. I think this helps with giving us something to focus on, whether there's panic and anxiety or something else that way or not. Looking, what are five things you can see in the moment, in that space that you're in? Five completely different things. Noticing the colors or shapes and things of that nature. Four things that you can hear, three things that you can touch, two things that you can smell, and one thing that you can taste. So just counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, using your senses. And I don't care if we interchange the senses with the different numbers. If I've got some clients who do 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, it's a little harder with smell and taste. In my drawer at work and on our lobby counter, we've got some mints, Laffy Taffy, different flavors. Somebody might find a chocolate or something like that. Depending on our resources in that moment, we could really expand our awareness and our mindfulness. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 is one of my favorites. I love guided meditation and visualizations. When I first learned about meditation, and I'd never done it before, there was no way I was going to clear my mind for 10 or 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's tough.
We just can't do it. I used to run the Ragnar Relay every summer here in Utah. And I would find out that I was running 8 months in advance. And so we start training. Sometimes we wait until a week before to train. And that sometimes that's our approach to mindfulness or some new technique that we're going to jump right in and expect ourselves to be experts at. That's just not realistic. We need to practice it. And so I'll tell people, if you can quiet things for 15 seconds and you've never done it before, nice job. That's amazing. Let's get to 20 seconds someday. That's a good goal. That's one reason I really like visualizations, is because it gives me something to focus on. It pulls my mind somewhere rather than me just having to empty it. Let me share one more thing that I've done. I love to mow the lawn barefoot. I love to connect with the soil and with the grass. And it's so grounding for me. So I'll mow my lawn barefoot, which doesn't make my wife happy if I try to walk in the house, you know, midway through or afterward. But to connect with the earth is so incredibly grounding and invites me into the present moment. The temperature of the blades of grass, you can tell how long they are, the aroma out there, putting our hands in soil. Here in Utah, we've gotten snow now and we're heading into winter. So picking up a snowball, you know, it hurts when you hold it in your hand. There are times where I'll do a letting go ceremony with clients as we're working through pain and anxiety and depression and trauma. And we might use a piece of ice. We might use a snowball to connect with some of the pain and then release it, throw it, get rid of it. Put it on the ground and stomp it. Those kinds of things where we kind of get rid of, but we can connect for a moment rather than continually avoid. Mindfulness is huge. It's so crucial. Overall, I think we don't know how to utilize it as effectively as we could. I love the work that you're doing in inviting people into that space of being present, really having those discussions and really checking in and noticing what this is all about.
Yeah, there's a real beauty in slowing down the sexual experience and noticing things that may have slipped our notice if we were kind of rushing through the process. I think we can really connect. I have to say, the mom in me is still processing you mowing the lawn barefoot. I have so many safety issues coming up in my head. But I do love what you're saying about connecting with nature. I think that may be one of the most powerful mindfulness exercises we can engage in, is just maybe taking a walk out in our neighborhood or up in the mountains. There's something about changing our environment so that we start noticing the details that we've missed. And we notice that can happen with our sexual experiences as well. If we just change something up and then make an effort to notice those details, the, you know, what I see, what I hear, what I, you know, all of our senses, if we use each of them, we have a different experience. And that's really what we're after, because that helps us connect and deepen that relationship. Chris, thank you so much for being with us. This was a pleasure, and we'll have to have you on again and pick your brain some more.
I love that. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on. I love learning more about this work and getting to know what resources are out there for my clients, because there is such a diverse array of need for resources. And I would so much rather be more prepared where I can access those resources for my people. So thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
That's it for this week. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Sexual Mindfulness Project, and subscribe to our website, shalomlevitt.com, to stay up to date with the latest information on sexual mindfulness. Thanks for listening.